They apparently weren't. All right, can you guys hear me now? I thought about that first thing. I was like, man, I didn't turn this thing on. But, you know, like I said, it's great just to be here with you guys this morning and to be able to preach. You know, I love getting the opportunity to preach and being able to share the things that God is doing in my life and the things that I'm seeing God do in so many other people's lives. And, you know, as you guys are starting the series, talking about impossible things, having faith to see God do the impossible. And Mike was telling me about that. I'm like, wow, that's amazing. You know, what can you talk about? You have a myriad of topics that you can talk about because God is so amazing. Yeah. I mean, you know, I wrote four lessons because I kept going, no, I want to do this. I think I want to do that instead. Or no, I want to do this. Yeah. And it's just, yeah. One of the lessons encompassed me trying to preach through the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation. That was a little bit ambitious, and I wasn't ready for that. I don't know what I was thinking. So I didn't do that, so you guys are probably not going to be here for 4 hours trying to listen to me preach through the Bible. But, you know, just thinking through it, and, you know, one thing that I was trying to think through, even in my own life, were like, what are the amazing things that I've done? And I thought about, you know, sharing about the church. And I'm just where you guys are and what I've seen, because the first time that I had an opportunity to be a part of the Auburn Tuskegee Church was when I was a young disciple in 2008. And a couple campus students, we'd come down here and, you know, we get to see the other campus students. And I remember one of the first times I came here, I had a date with Jessica Delgado. And that was a lot of fun. So I took her on a date before you did, Julio, just so you know. But, you know, I just remember, you know, great memories of being here in the past and doing things. And you guys are together now, which is awesome. You guys are perfect for each other. But it's, you know, I even think about Ken and Kat being here, being pillars in the church, the Haynes. And I mean, just being able to look and be able to see people that weren't here, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. And it's an amazing thing, because I think that's one way that we can see God do the impossible. You know, I even think about Nate Martin. You weren't even here a year ago, and now you're here, and you know, being able to fellowship with everyone, and it's awesome to see God do impossible things in people's lives. And you know, we serve a God that can do the impossible. You know, and the way that I always remember this, and what I think about is when I read through Genesis, and even when I think about a video, I'm sure that some of you have seen it, that Louis Giglio did, you know, that talks about space and planets and galaxies, and I'm like, my mind was spinning. I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about, but this is amazing. And it just, like, I get to a point where I'm like, man, God is so amazing. How does he create all this stuff? Like, what kind of imagination do you have to be able to make all of this? And then I start thinking about heaven. And, you know, in Revelations and thinking through, wow, the way that heaven is described, And what it talks about in there, and you know, even how Paul talks about, you know, some of those things, it's hard to share it. Like, how do you communicate heaven to people? How do I tell you what's in heaven? And, you know, something that I've heard, even the way that was describing it to, you know, fine jewelry, or, you know, roads paved in gold, and all these other words that I didn't know as I was reading it. And it's like, if you're trying to describe something indescribable, you describe it to the most amazing things in your own world. And the way, and I'm like, wow, God is just so amazing in that sense that you can't even describe heaven. Not even with the finest things in this world can you describe it. But that's the closest that we can get. And so I'm just excited to see what heaven is even like, you know, and what God has done. Even looking at the galaxies and not being able to see everything, I'm already in awe and I'm amazed by it. But man, what does God have in store? And you know, to talk about God doing the impossible, and we know that we serve a God that can do the impossible. And I was trying to think of a topic, and I came through, and I thought about so many different things about people in the Bible that God worked through. And I wanted to do a lesson on Esther, and God was able to use her in her position to be able to, you know, help the Jews and to be able to save a lot of people. I thought about David. I thought about Abraham. You know, I thought about Paul. I thought about so many people that God was able to use their faith to accomplish so much. And I think you guys can look in your own lives and see that God has done so much in your life, and he's not done. And that's the amazing part. But something that I kept noticing, you know, as I was reading, you know, reading through the Bible and looking at some of these characters, were their feelings of even not being able or not having the strength to be able to do the things that God was getting them ready for. And that's why today, My lesson topic is called Impossible to Forgive.
Come on.
Because a lot of us in here want to do amazing things for God. We all want to serve God. We all want to see our lives transformed. We want to see our families' lives, our friends' lives transformed. But sometimes one of the hardest things for us to do is to believe that God can forgive us.
Yeah.
We can, we can kind of walk in our own sin, and I'll share a lot about my own life in this way, but we feel like it's impossible for God to forgive the things that we've done.
Yeah.
It could be something that we did yesterday, this morning, a year ago, 5 years ago. We can feel that sense, and if you were at the wedding yesterday, that was one of the most beautiful things that was talked about to me, was how Carl and Tia were able to go through so many things in their lives, but see where God has brought them, and how God has forgiven them, and how God has done the impossible in their life. Something that Tia thought was never going to be possible happened. And in the same way, we can experience the same thing. And if we can open our Bibles up to Jeremiah chapter 18. In Jeremiah chapter 18, from verses 1, it says, "This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter transformed it into another pot, shaping it as it seemed best to him." And I love this because it talks about a potter, trying to make some pots and some things out of clay. And right here it says, "I saw him working at the wheel, but the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hand, so the potter transformed it into another." And when we think about this in the sense that God is the potter and we are the clay, God shapes us. The issue is that we're flawed. We have issues, we have cracks, we have things that are broken in us. But we have an amazing God that can shape us, that can transform us. But the question is, do we really believe that? And right now I want to welcome Megan up, my beautiful wife. She wants to share a couple of things about this as well.
I think for me, when thinking about forgiveness and even this passage, one of the most heartbreaking stories for me about forgiveness in the Bible is Judas. And, reading through the story and seeing how he betrayed Jesus, and really that's probably the main person biblically who, led to Jesus' death, obviously, ourselves and our own sin. But I think when he realized what he had done and just was so sorrowful about it, I just feel like, man, if he had just gone to Jesus or gone to God and just had really gone to him and submitted himself to him, I'm like, man, God would have definitely forgiven him.
Yes.
And he could have transformed his life from there.
Yeah.
Imagine that story of reconciliation with God.
Yeah.
But I think when Judas was confronted with his sin, he didn't submit himself to the potter. He saw that he was a spoiled piece of clay. He realized it, but instead of going to the potter to become something new, he just gave up.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's so heartbreaking, but I think that's something, in other ways that we can do every day. And we think about just how sinful we are, and we don't think about how powerful God is.
Yeah.
That he can take us from such a broken place to a completely new creation, and which I think is so powerful. And I know for me, I feel like I can struggle with that on a daily basis. Whether it's just my own character or performance of hey, how am I doing, God? What do you see in me? But I can make it all about myself and my sin, rather than looking in faith to God's power and his ability to change me and make me something new. And so I feel like I just have to remind myself of that every day. It's not about how sinful I am. It's about how powerful God is.
Amen.
So I think for me, when I think of the potter of the clay, I'm just like, okay, I could be the most spoiled piece of clay, but God is a powerful potter, and he can completely change who I am.
Thanks, Meg. Thank you so much, Meg. My wife is very insightful, and even in me writing this lesson, she was able to help me think through some things, and I even think about how forgiving she is to me. Just being newly married and living with me is like living with a child. I do stupid stuff all the time, And I'm sure she's forgiven me over 1,000 times so far since we've been married. You know, one of my favorite things to do is to try and scare her. And so I'll, like, hide in a corner or something. And there was this one time we watched a scary movie with some friends on a date. And it has some creepy theme song to it. And so I thought it would be a great idea to play that theme song in the corner, hide in our bedroom in the corner. And as she walked in, I just wanted to jump out and scare her. And so as soon as she even thought that I was going to do that, she started screaming, like, "What are you doing? What's going on?" I was like, I haven't even scared her at this point, but she's very forgiving, and she puts up with my childish antics, and I think she's a great example of forgiveness. And you know, as we look at our own lives, and what I really want to communicate today, this message is for people who are broken. It's for people who feel like they have flaws. People who feel like it's impossible for God to forgive them. For people who commit the same sin over and over and over again. You feel like you've been stuck in a rut. You feel like you can't overcome the things in your life. And the great thing is that with God, it's possible. It is not impossible for God to forgive your sin and transform you. God has done amazing things. When we look in the Bible, God does amazing things. Parting seas. You think about the place, God just, he like blows your mind, and then why does it come to our life, our little lives, and think, man, he can't forgive me for this. But he can do amazing things. He can create planets. But he can't forgive me. Why is that? And when I think about that is, you know, a question I want to pose to you guys is God strong enough to forgive you? Do you believe that God is strong enough to forgive you and to transform your life? But in order for us to be forgiven, we have to be broken. We have to get to a point of brokenness. Because if we never get there, we never see that forgiveness. We never go after seeking that forgiveness. You know, the only reason that we have mercy from God in the first place is because we're broken. And he sees that. God looked at the world and said, you know, this is an imperfect world. They need me. They need forgiveness. But we have to get to that point of brokenness first. Let's go over to Luke chapter 18. In Luke chapter 18 from verses 9 through 13. And I love this story of the tax collector and the Pharisee. In Luke 18 from verses 21. Or sorry, from verse 9, excuse me. Says, to some who were confident in their own righteousness and looked down to everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. And I think a lot of us can relate to this. You know, and I think for me as a minister, as a husband, you know, just as a man in general, I can be like the tax collector. We all want to give off a sense of ourselves. We want to give off this persona, in a way. And I think for me, it started even when I became a disciple in college. I didn't want to talk about my sin with people. A lot of it was because I never thought God would forgive me of the things that I'd done in the past. So why should I share it in the first place? I hid my sin from people. I wouldn't talk about it. My impurity, no one needs to know about that. I'll keep that to myself. And we hide these things, and we want to, you know, I wanted to look a certain way to certain people. I just became a disciple. People were encouraging me left and right, and, you know, saying all these nice things about me. Man, what would it be like if I told them all my sin? Would they say the same things about me, or would they look at me differently? And then I think as a minister, you get so much pressure. I feel the pressure of, man, you got to look good. You got to live your life well. You got to preach well. about your ministry, you got to share good news all the time. Because everything is great, you know? Everything is awesome. And you know, as a minister, you get to this point where it's like, man, am I being myself? Or am I giving off this persona or what I want other people to think that I am? I don't want to be broken. I don't want people to see my flaws. I want you guys to see me in a good light. Like, man, look at Adoy. He's serving. He's so giving. That's what I want people to see. You know, even I walk in this morning, Ken was telling me, man, you know, after that wedding, you guys were serving and cleaning up. And, you know, Ken always has something nice to say. That's one thing I know about Ken. Anytime I've spoken to Ken, he is the most encouraging brother that I've ever talked to. He finds something about you to share about. And I appreciate that so much about you, Ken. But, you know, I feed off of that sometimes. We all feed off of that. We feed off of people saying great things about us. We want to look great. You know, and I think as a husband, I want to be the best husband I can be, but I know I'm not. And I don't want my wife to see my flaws. I don't want her to see how weak I am. You know, even last night we were talking and sharing about something that really strikes at my own heart, about my own insecurity, about, you know, saying things that matter to people when I need to say it. But I don't want my wife to see me as weak. Yeah. You know, I want to go and say, yeah, I'll do that thing. Of course I'll do it. But I had to get to a point of, you know what, I'm afraid to do this. I don't want to do this. This is hard for me. And we all have to get to that point. You know, sometimes I think we must be stripped of the things that we take confidence in. Because sometimes we hide behind things. We hide behind things and we take confidence in things that's not God in order to look good. Is it your good looks, athletic abilities? What is it? Is it friendships? Is it your career? Is it your marriage? We push these things forward and we keep our real selves back. It's like, look at me. I'm a great athlete. Look at me, I'm a great husband. But what's going on in our hearts? What's going on deep down? What are you hiding? What are you keeping from everyone else? What are you keeping from God? And honestly, we all have to get to that place of brokenness to be able to see it. Be broken, it's okay. God knows it already. God knows that we're not perfect. We will never be. We have to embrace that brokenness. You have to believe that God can do the impossible. God can forgive all of that. God can transform you. You know, I never believed that would happen in my life. One of my biggest struggles as a young Christian was my purity. Looking at women in an impure way. You know, lusting after women. And for me, it was, men, will God ever change me? The same sin. Am I ever going to be different? And you know, God has transformed my life in radical ways. Ways that I would not have thought 4 or 5 years ago. And it is so possible with God. But first, I had to get to a place of brokenness. I had to be real about everything. I had to put my cards on the table. You know, and sometimes we go to God. And, you know, it's like a man who just got in a fight and he just got beat up really bad. He's walking around like, oh, I'm okay. You know, nothing to look at here. I'm okay. But you're bleeding. You can barely walk. But you're trying to hold yourself together. Trying to go to God saying, I don't need you. I'm okay. I can do this on my own. Be broken. Let God see it. Let people see it. Because that's the only way we're going to transform. And I love that thought that Megan shared about Judas. You know, we think we can try and change things. Yeah. Like Judas, he went back and he's like, oh, you know what? Take your money back. The sin's already been committed. Right. And sometimes in our own lives we think, well, if I just do this differently, then maybe it's okay. I don't have to talk about it. Nothing happened. It's like nothing ever happened. It's not like that with God. It's happened. God knows. Get open about it. And I love that she said, you know, if he just had the courage to be broken and go to Jesus and say, you know what? I sinned against you. I don't think Jesus would have said, get away from me. I think he would have welcomed him in and really helped transform his life. He would have done the impossible in his life. And think, what could he have done? What would God have used him to do? But he will never know, because he never got to that point. He tried to do it on his own terms. And I think when we get to a point of brokenness, it also allows us to be able to forgive other people. One of the scriptures that I love in the Bible is Matthew 18. It talks about the unmerciful servant. You know, a man that was forgiven a lot, but then when someone owed him something, he wasn't willing to forgive. And all of us in here want forgiveness from God. We all beg him for forgiveness. As soon as you sin, we're going to God, God, please forgive me. I don't want to do this again. But then a brother and sister hurts us, and it's a different story. Why is that? Why can we see forgiveness and want it so much in God, but not be able to forgive one another? You know, and that's one of the saddest things that I see. That's one of the things that I've seen in my own life. Like, why is it so hard for me to forgive? I know how much I need God. But honestly, if it's difficult for us to forgive, we have to look back and think, do we truly believe that we're forgiven from God? Because if we understand God's forgiveness, it is that much easier to forgive our brothers and sisters. Yep. And I want you all to think, is there someone in your life that's hurt you or treated you in a bad way or whatever it is? How forgiving are you to them? How loving are you to them? Or do we have an attitude with them? Are we bitter with them? And one of those relationships that I'm working on in my life is a brother that you guys know well, Chidia. Working through our own issues. Working through things that I felt about things going on in his own life. And the great thing is he and I are able to talk every week and work through those things. But it's hard. It is so hard when you feel like someone has hurt you. It's hard to forgive them. But when you understand God's forgiveness, it is easy. And I want to encourage us to go after that, seeing God's forgiveness. And, if you, in that scripture in Matthew chapter 18, about the unmerciful servant, towards the end of it, it says, the master called the servant in, you wicked servant, he said, I canceled all your debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. Forgiveness is not just an outward, you're forgiven. It has to start from your heart. Do you believe it? Do you truly forgive someone from your heart? No malice, no ill intent towards them. And so, guys, talking about this, forgiveness, it's a real thing. It's a real struggle that we all have. But from there, understanding that God forgives us and loves us, being able to forgive someone else, we learn to forgive ourselves. Because sometimes we hold on to these grudges. We hold on to these things that we think. But, we have to let God transform us.
Yeah.
When Jesus heals, he does amazing things in our lives, and we have to let him transform us to be able to do the impossible. But why do we hold on to something? When you hurt someone, when you do something wrong, or you wrong someone and they forgive you, why should we still be guilty? In the same way, God has moved on. Why are we still hurt? Why are we still holding on? Was it truly about them in the first place, or is it about us? That's where it gets to. Because if God has forgiven you, and he's moved on, you have to question your heart. Was this about God to begin with, or was it about my own perfection? And putting off this view of myself, who I want to be, who I want other people to see. Because if we truly have forgiveness from God, we won't live the way that we do. We wouldn't be holding on to these things. And so, you read through the Bible, you see so many transformations. I think about Paul. God transformed his life in an amazing way. From a murderer to a preacher. I'm sure he had to feel a lot of guilt. you know, I mean, imagine you were killing Christians and then you come in their midst and it's like, hey guys, so I was the one that you know, murdered one of your brothers. I killed Stephen. I casted a lot against him. That must be hard. And you know, I don't doubt that he didn't think about that as several times in his life. I'm sure it came in his mind. But you know, he lived a transformed life. God did the impossible in his life because he embraced God. God stripped him of the things that he had confidence in. And he was able to look at God. And Jesus healed so many people in his life. So many people. You know, performed many miracles. Imagine, how sad would it be if all those people that he healed went back to do the exact same things they were doing and live the same life? Like, how sad would that be? For Jesus to say, hey, you can walk now. You know, you can see now. Your sins have been forgiven. How sad would it be that they go back and act like they still can't walk? They can't see. That their sins weren't forgiven. That's where we get to, guys. God has healed us. God has changed us. But we are living the exact same life. I truly believe that if you feel forgiven from God, God will use your life to do the impossible. God will transform you. God will use you to transform other people. And when I read in the scriptures and Jesus heals people and he's like, you know, go and sin no more. He gives them a charge. Go and do this no more. Be different. Be someone new. Be transformed.
Yeah.
Why do we sit in the same place and do the same things over and over again? We can do amazing things through God. We can do the impossible because we have God on our side. And so, guys, as we, you know, wrap up here, I just want you to know that God can do the impossible. And, you know, if any of you want, please call me. I can tell you about my life and things that God is doing and tell you so much more about, you know, even in my own purity, ways that God has changed my life and changed my views. And, you know, just practically things that we need to do is pray to God for forgiveness. Go to Him first. You know, be willing to be broken and vulnerable. That's when God works. When someone gets to this point of, man, I need you completely. I have nothing else to hold on to. Be willing to be vulnerable. Don't be afraid of what your brother or sister is going to think about you. It's God that we're worried about. Let's be right before Him. And I encourage all of us in here to be open and honest to the point of embarrassment. Be embarrassed about it. Get real. Get open. And, you know, Megan and I work with teenagers, and they're really funny when they talk about different stuff going on in their lives. There was a teen that was afraid to talk about some things with them. I'm like, man, it's okay. You know, it's no big deal. And he's like, no, I'm serious, man. I'm so serious about this. And I'm like, oh, wow, you know, something must have happened with him. Or I don't. And I'm like, man, okay, well, let's sit down. Let's talk. Let's get serious. He told me, well, man, I haven't told anyone, but, you know, this guy is 15 years old. And he's like, man, I met this girl. I think she's the one for me, man. And I'm like, this is what you want to confess to me right now? I'm like, look, you're 15. You're probably not going to marry this girl. But that was one of his biggest things. And he was so embarrassed about it. He was embarrassed to talk about it because this girl didn't like him back. And he has all these feelings for her and feeling insecure about it. And he's like, man, I'm writing poems about her. And I'm kind of like, dang, I didn't even do that in my relationship. And I'm married. And so you know, but the point was he was willing to be open about something that was embarrassing to him. To be in love with a girl that doesn't even pay him any mind, doesn't think about him. But he was willing to get open. Are we willing to be that open? And if you're not, ask yourself, what are you afraid of? And, you know, allow God to do the impossible in your life. As campus students, you know, you start off the semester, or, you know, if you're working a job and you're thinking about your career, what is God going to do in your life this year that is impossible? Do you have an impossible dream? What are you hoping for God to do this year? In your marriage, what are you hoping for God to do this year? You know, I think about my marriage. Like, I don't want to look back and think, well, you know, we did good and we paid our bills on time. We went to church. We gave contribution and we preached and then we helped the teens. And it's like, amen. What was the impossible thing that God did in your life this year? Because God is able. We just need to have that faith.
Amen.
And for the campus students in here, have that faith that God can do so much more. And know that you're in good company. Jeremiah didn't convert anyone. Faithful man. Loved God.
Amen.
But you see, when we have faith, God can do so much with it. And we don't know what it may be.
Yeah.
It may be to reach out to someone that has a huge impact. Who knows? I mean, when I think about the whole Bible, when you read the Bible in entirety, there's so many men and women in there who can say, you know what? Maybe not a lot happened in my life. But we're able to see the whole thing. Like, are you kidding me? Your life set up this person's life, led to this, and here's Jesus.
Right.
And we look at it, we're like, what? You didn't matter? Are you kidding me? We matter. God can do impossible things with our lives for years to come. Even after we're gone. But we have to believe that. Even when we don't see things happening, we have to truly believe that God will do amazing things. And so, guys, as we go home, I dare you to dream impossible dreams. I dare you to have impossible faith. I dare you to go out there and allow God to use your life to do tremendous things. Thank you all for letting me share that today. I appreciate it.